Crystal Army darkened the air of the pass. The anvils ran straight through the curtain of missiles. They did not merely shrug off the attack. They ignored it. The barrage was meaningless. There was nothing the Cornate troops could do to stop the coming of the hammer. The trumpet blast of Neferata's army sounded again. It was louder and it echoed. It was closer. The Mortark and her forces were in the Axeway. Venthor was right. This was the way forwards. A massive blow against the Wrathgate to open it at last and burst free of the ambush. There was no reason for Rassan to think Venthor was wrong. No reason unless Neferata was telling the truth. Rassan stormed forwards beside the snarling Drakoth. She held her banner high, attacking with fury at the enemy and faith in the Lord Celestant. But the doubts flickered. The doubts festered. The anvils of the Heldenhammer slammed into the Wrathgate. It trembled under the blow. Then the earth screamed and gave up its dead. The entrance to the Axeway was just up ahead.
"The Lord Celestant rejects your warning,"
Curtathax said as he took his place once more on the Nagadron's right flank. "Excellent," said Neferata. "He goes forward, then?"
"He does."
Then the final pieces of this portion of the game were in place, and doing what they should. Venthor was making the error she needed. "Now comes the time of consequences," Neferata said to the Morghasts. "We shall see a collision of choices. Some have been made just now, and some were made an age ago. The Lord Celestant refused to listen to you, Curtathax. Consequences will flow from that. Vask will choose to attack us both. That will have its repercussions. And it is time that I meet the last consequence for my judgment of Shadowvel, and for how I suppressed the Helizan Rebellion."
"As you say, my queen,"
Curtathax said. Dravashkon, the other Morghast Archai, remained silent. "Rejoice, my Morghasts," Neferata exclaimed. "You should revel in the excitement of unpredictability. It is so pure, so concentrated, at a nexus of choice. Whatever happens, it will not be dull." The leading edge of her infantry turned into the Axeway. Neferata brought Nagadron flying in low, and the Morghasts followed faithfully. At the front, a phalanx of skeleton drummers beat severed femurs against taut human skin.
"Sound the fanfare,"
Neferata commanded. "Announce us. Let Vask hear. Let us tell him that I have come." She laughed. "Let us tell him that I have fallen into his trap." Trumpeters with neither lips nor lungs raised their instruments. Their music was mournful, fantastic, and defiant. Death triumphant marched through the Axeway.
"Where are you, Vask?" Neferata called. "Is this not what you wanted? Is this not your great desire?"
She urged her army faster. Her legions marched into the bottleneck of the pass, closing the distance between them, the anvils of the Heldenhammer, and the wall. Flying higher, Neferata saw the charge of the Stormcast Eternals. The two forces were far enough apart that they would not be able to reach each other easily, though if Vask waited much longer, that would change. She looked to the rear, and her siege towers, those immense lies, were now in the Axeway.
"This is the moment. Prove me right, Vask. Show me how predictable you really are in your petty anger."
Vask answered. Along the entire length of the Axeway, the vengeful dead attacked. With them came the living willing to die for their cause, a legion of fools led by a fool. Yet Neferata was impressed by the care Vask had put into the ambush. As the eruption began, She took a moment to savour the titanic effort that had been given to the project of destroying her. Centuries of hate had resulted in centuries of work. She was flattered, and she was intrigued. Vask and the dead of Shadowvale had made common cause. Their shared hatred of her made that easy to understand. But to have worked so long and well in secrecy, to hide the region from her sight, that was remarkable. The ambush was even more remarkable. The Axeway was not far from Shadowvale, but it still would have taken generations of meticulously crafted sorcery to have aligned the border of the hidden underworld with the Axeway. How long have they been hoping to lure me here? It was as perfect a location for a trap as was possible within the region of Shadowvale. She wondered if the dead of the city had planned simply to fester in their anger until chance brought her here. That was a patience that had turned into madness. She thought that Vask had seen an opportunity and used his allies for his own purposes. He had shown himself more than able to mount an active campaign against her. Vask used them, and Graunos used Vask. The neatness of her foe's parasitical relationships, fused with the improbability of chance, appealed to her. She was pleased with this war. She was pleased with her role in bringing it about. Now she had to use it well. The attackers appeared to materialize out of nothing. Skeletons, vampires, and mortals rose from the Axeway floor. Waves of spirits burst from the cliffs. They sealed the entrance to the pass, and a great throng emerged in front of the Neferatian army, cutting it off from the anvils of the Heldenhammer. It was truly a magnificent strike by Vask. "Traitors!" Neferata roared, her voice booming throughout the pass. "I bring you oblivion." And she brought Nagadron down. She grinned ferociously. She had a purpose here, too. She would show Vask that the true masterpiece of deception was the one that she had woven. The parapet shook under the impact of the anvils of the Heldenhammer. Neferata's army came into sight, and Vask finally attacked. The assault was well staged, and Vask had great numbers on his side. All of Shadowvale's history before its fall had risen against Neferata.
"We are ready,"
Vergren told Kathag.
"Our forces await you below."
"Good."
Kathag turned away from the panorama of the war and made for the zigzagging staircase carved out of the interior of the North Cliff.
"Lord Graunos's tool has a good army,"
Vergren said.
"It might be," said Kathag, "against Neferata or the anvils of the Heldenhammer. Not against both. Numbers aren't enough."
He stopped at the entrance to the tunnel of the cliff and looked back at the skull. It was beginning to feed on the struggle below, but too many of the combatants were already dead and would give it no fuel. It would fire again, but only sporadically.
"Nothing we have here is enough," Kathag said. "But we never thought it would be. If Vask had attacked when he should have, we might have defeated the Stormcast Eternals."
Neferata's machinations had ended that hope. Kathag stormed down the stairs, taking them three at a time, his anger building to battle wrath.
"Vask is a fool," he said. "His overreach will cost too much."
"Then we will turn the tide against the enemy," said Vergren.
"No, we won't. Not with the forces we have here."
Vergren growled under his breath.
"Lord Graunos might be interested to hear you disparage our strength."
Kathag whirled, catching Vergren by the throat and pinning him against the wall in a single movement.
"I speak for Lord Graunos," he snarled. "He knows exactly what can and cannot be done here. And if you question me again, the next skull I take will be yours."
Kathag stared into Vergren's eyes until he was sure the message had been received. Then he released the exalted Deathbringer and continued down the stairs, his thoughts already back on the battle ahead. He would not let the Mortark have her way. He would get his prize yet. It was time to wield the blade of focused rage. He emerged from the base of the cliff. The war host was assembled before the gate, a restless, stirring mass of barely contained violence. Kathag nodded in satisfaction. His warriors were already hungry to taste Stormcast Eternal blood. The longer he restrained them, the greater the violence when they finally hit the battlefield. If he timed the assault correctly, the explosion of hate would be something majestic, a worthy act of worship for the Skull God. Kathag passed before the front ranks, stopping before the centre of the gate, where he mounted Borghaven, his juggernaut.
"Ignore the dead," he commanded. "Turn your blades upon the living. The slaves of Sigmar are our prey this night. If they cheat us of their skulls by vanishing, their deaths are no less pleasing to Khorne. Blood for the Blood God!
Skulls for the Skull Throne!"
the horde answered. Above the Wrathgate, the skull icon fed slowly, but it did feed. At last it was ready again, and it unleashed its fire upon the anvils of the Heldenhammer. As soon as he saw the flame pour down again, Kathag struck the gate with the flat of his axe.
"Open the gate!" he called.
The blow reverberated over its entire surface. Its effect was unlike the blows of Stormcast Eternals. There was no intent to destroy. This was a command given through one icon of Khorne to another. The gate rang a solemn, monstrous bell. The signal was given and a vertical line appeared in the apparently seamless expanse of brass. With a terrible grinding, the Wrathgate opened outwards, and Kathag led the roaring furies of his war horde through into the axeway beyond. Vask was the shifting eye of the storm. He ran back and forth through the centre of the massed forces between Neferata and the anvils of the Heldenhammer. He kept moving, his hunched posture making him smaller than most of his warriors. His army here was not as ethereal as that coming from the sides of the pass. These were his loyalists, the mortals who had always been loyal to him, and the vampires whose faith he had inherited from Castan. They would protect him, and they would hide him. He would not stand out in this throng. Even so, he kept moving, never staying too near the centre for long, where he was sure Neferata would seek him first. He would hide the source of command. Vask's pulse beat with a new kind of fear. He did not belong on the battlefield. He belonged in the shadows, weaving the schemes that would control the clash of arms. The ambush at Nell was supposed to have been the culmination of his shadow war against Neferata. He should have destroyed her from afar. He had failed, though, and now he was here. He had no choice. The stakes were final this time, all or nothing. He was frightened, but he was also resolute, and he was glad it had come to this. His victory would be much more meaningful. And Castan was frenzied. His screams filled Vask's head, pushing him into a fury. There was barely room left in his soul for fear. Everything was at stake, and the corpse, desperate, lashed out in every direction. Held by his heroic ancestor's will, Vask gave material form to Castan's attacks. Surrounded by a vortex of spirits, mortals and vampires, he directed the arms of the storm, sending them crashing into the front ranks of the Neferatian army and the rear of the anvils of the Heldenhammer. Deep inside the storm, Vask could see little except the violence of movement. Castan was as certain in his commands as he was furious, though, and Vask trusted in the dead necromancer. He shouted orders and directed the whirl of his forces. His fists were tight, and his frame trembled with the effort of containing the bolts of death energy he had summoned. He had to hold them back, to have them ready when their moment came. If he attacked too soon, he would give his position away. Neferata would be looking for him. She knew what a lethal threat he represented. She knew she must deal with him or lose an empire. He was proud of the terror he must have brought to her heart. he would see that terror on her face this time when he brought her low. He turned to face the Wrathgate as it opened. The fire from the skull ended, and he heard the rumble of a new army charging into the fray, and then the collision, like crashing waves in a sea of iron, of bloodbound and stormcast eternals. The great booming toll of the opening of the gate was a call he was meant to obey. A new voice invaded his mind. It was the voice of his patron, of Graunos. He had heard it before, coming from a phantasmic manifestation, held within summoning circles. He thought he had kept a safe distance from the demon prince. Collaboration did not mean subjugation. He had been quite sure of this.
"Destroy the anvils of the Heldenhammer,"
Graunos demanded.
"That is why you are here. Your delay has cost enough."
An impulse came with the words. Sharp, iced with anger, it stabbed him behind the eyes. It would relent if he obeyed. Poised on the edge of submission, he heard a monster's roar from behind and above, and he heard a woman's laugh, a laugh that delighted in all the pleasures of blood. Her voice boomed through the entire axeway. In defiance of the pain, driven by Caston's need as well as his own, Vask turned and faced south. Hundreds of yards away, mounted on her skeletal beast and flanked by two great horrors armed with giant blades, Neferata dived into the host of Helizan and Shadowvel. She reached down with her black staff. It flashed dark light, and with it she reaped a harvest of shattered souls, the living and the dead, scythed apart by her passage. The dread abyssal's jaws gaped wide, a great devourer of spirits. The Morghast Archai swung their huge blades, carving two wide furrows through Vask's great force. It was as if an immense, taloned hand clawed gouges through his army, and Neferata was laughing. She was laughing.
"Do as you are commanded,"
Graunos thundered in his mind. But Caston's shrieks of rage almost drowned out the demon prince. Vask turned and turned. His forces were divided, holding off the Neferatians and pressing the anvils of the Heldenhammer. He was attacking along the flanks too, but that was not enough. He had to commit fully, or his assault would turn into a defensive fight. Neferata's siege towers lumbered in his view. His army was not slowing them down, though he saw the spirits of Shadowvel swarming over their heights. Graunos raged, Neferata laughed. Vask hesitated, torn between fears. Neferata knew that Vask was in that huge churn of his forces. Spectres and skeletons formed an almost indiscernible mass, mixed with mortals and some vampires. The mass struck out north and south in the pass, boiling with undirected anger. Vask was in there, hidden and protected by those who were his thralls, as surely as if he were a vampire himself. She needed him to declare himself, to commit himself to attacking her. She was carving through the outer ranks of the mob, but she needed to know where he was before she could strike deeper. She was wary of being caught, as she had been outside Nell, and Vask might yet do as his masters of the ruinous powers no doubt wanted, and throw his might fully against the anvils of the Heldenhammer. She would convince him to do otherwise. "Do you hide from me, Vask?" she taunted with her voice of thunder, rising with Nagadron above the fray again. "Do you fear me?" Neferata looked back at the siege of towers. They were more than halfway through the pass now. Soon they would be a threat to the Wrathgate. They were covered with Vask's wraiths, and mortal forces were attacking them at the base, cutting down the skeletal legions, hauling them forwards and damaging the structures. The towers were slowing down and beginning to sway. The siege towers were at the critical point, and her forces knew what would come then. "Do you not hate me enough yet?" Neferata called to Vask.
Then let me give you further reason.
Vask saw the siege towers tremble. Neferata's taunts sank claws into his heart. Castan shrieked, incoherent in his wrath. The mummy seemed to bite down harder on Vask's shoulder.
Kill her! Kill her! Kill her! Kill her! Kill her! Kill her!
Castan screamed. The father of the long struggle against Neferata was a maddened, howling, dead thing.
Kill her! Kill her! Kill her! Kill her! Kill her!
The single thought consumed Vask's soul. Yet the voice of Graunos was still present, yanking him back towards the anvils of the Heldenhammer. Vask ran back and forth in the crowd of his warriors, hidden, undecided, torn by hate and anger. The siege towers swayed more violently, trees about to fall, and his heart leapt in feral joy.
"Do you not hate me enough yet?" cried Neferata. "Then let me give you further reason."
The towers blazed with searing violet light. Their top thirds burst apart, splinters of wood and iron flying across the battlefield. Two huge monsters leapt from their concealed perches. Wings spread, and the Terrorgeist and Zombie Dragon flew towards the Wrathgate. The light of the towers intensified. The spectres clutching their walls wailed in terror. With a blinding flash of violet, the towers exploded simultaneously. Then the blast collapsed in on itself. The wreckage of the towers hurled itself into the centre of the implosion. There was a terrible concussion, a crushing of matter and magic. An abyssal hollow opened up in the air above the floor of the pass. It spun, a thing of darkness streaked with a grey that was somehow even more awful. The whirling void was a hungry maw, and it pulled in everything within its grasp, living and dead. Neferata had sacrificed her own subjects to the consuming void, but it was Vask's forces that it swallowed in huge numbers. The living screamed as they were crushed. Skeletons imploded into dust. The maw stretched spirits into mere ethereal lines as it swirled them around its vortex, and still they screamed until they vanished into the dark. From his vantage point, Vas could not see what was happening on the ground that far away. He was surrounded by the rush and roar of warriors, and wherever he moved in the crowd, there was only more of the same. But the maw in the air was sucking combatants up from the ground, and he could tell that the tenor of the battle was changing completely. He understood that he was not the one who had laid the ambush. The prospect of terminal defeat loomed, defeat that would end his rebellion forever. All thought of the anvils of the Heldenhammer vanished. The furious commands of Graunos lost all purchase on him. His anger had one great object, and soon she would be beyond the reach of his justice. This was his last chance. If he died, so be it. The only meaning his existence had was the destruction of Neferata.
"We have no interest in the gate," he called. "Destroy the tyrant of Neferatia! Kill her! Kill her! Kill her! Kill her!"
The monstrous fire drove the anvils of the Heldenhammer back once again, but it would be for the last time. The Wrathgate had buckled under their blows. Fissures spread upwards, glowing wounds in the brass flesh, and the centre was collapsing, huge slabs of metal falling away and crashing to the ground. Comrades fell, and Venthor led the final retreat back to the rubble from the cliff. Then the dead attacked from behind and the sides, and while the anvils turned to face them, the ruined Wrathgate opened wide, unleashing the warhorde's desperate charge. Venthor led a defence so ferocious it was worthy of a new assault. Even with the massive attack by the dead, the anvils of the Heldenhammer broke the rush of the Bloodbound and began to turn them back. Rassan and the battle mages brought more of the cliffside down, this time from the other side, as the Bloodbound charged. The avalanche crushed scores and narrowed the pass further. The Bloodbound had to get past the rockfall to get at the anvils, and they ran into a withering barrage from the Judicators. The Cornate warriors did not stop. They spread out and climbed over the rocks, and there the prosecutors were ready for them. The winged furies of dark, embodied justice fell upon them with the speed of birds of prey and the brutal strength of battering rams. Even this could not quell the flood of the enemy. The bloodbound washed over the rocks in waves, and on the other side the liberators drove them back against the stone. The tide of warriors became a tide of blood. And still they came. If the bloodbound had been the only enemy, Rassan thought, the outcome of the battle would have been inevitable. The Cornate could feed the skull with their own dead, or they could fight. In the long run, they could not do both. Only now they did not have to make a choice. The ambush Neferata had tried to warn the Anvils about had come, and they were beset on all sides. Phantoms emerged from the cliffs on both sides of the pass, for as far as Rassan could see. If it were not for the arrival of Neferata's army, that entire spirit host, many thousands strong, would have rushed upon the Stormcast Eternals. Instead, the new foe was divided, its leadership seemingly uncertain, attacking in two directions at once. The storm host formed a defensive circle, the bulwark of the liberators holding back a force of vampires and mortals that attacked from the south. Fighting on the north front, crushing skulls and ribcages with the steady, merciless swings of her hammer, Rassan caught glimpses of the struggle at the rear. The night burned with the warring lightning and deathly sorcery, flashing white and sickly green. The defensive wall of shields, hammer and armour held. The anvils of the Heldenhammer were not about to be overwhelmed. There was another push from the bloodbound. Venthor led a countercharge and pushed them back through the passage between the two huge rockfalls. The Lord of Khorne, directing the attack, appeared briefly on the peak of the southern hill of rubble. He had led the initial push. His juggernaut had trampled prosecutors, and his weapon seemed to cut through reality itself. The warlord led charges and appeared to be directing others, but was not throwing himself and all his forces into the kind of single, massed charge Rassan expected from his kind. He was using probing attacks instead. At this moment, he appeared to be surveying the storm host, strategizing. There was a huge double explosion that was immediately muffled, as if compressed, and the Lord of Khorne looked up from the storm host. Rassan cut the head from another blood reaver that had descended onto her position by the rocks and glanced back to see the black and grey vortex in the air.
"What is that?"
shouted Lord Castellant Arvax.
"Something our foe does not welcome," said Rassan.
Two monsters flew by overhead, making for the wall. Their ragged wings cast a deeper shadow over the night. The warlord roared orders as he pulled back to the other side of the boulder bridge, and the bloodbound's charge ended. They retreated with their leader. A few moments later, the flashes of the battle to the south diminished too. Venthor paused with Felcreth at the gap between the rubble hills. Rassan saw him poised on the verge of ordering a counterattack when Janika landed next to him.
"Lord Celestent," the knight Venator said, "the ambushing army has turned its attention from us. Its forces are committed entirely to attacking Neferata. They have their backs to us."
"This is their chance," said Rassan.
"What do you mean?"
said Venthor. Felcreth was pawing at the ground, gouging it with his claws, eager to charge north. He reflected his master's desire and impatience.
"We can reverse the configuration of this battle. We attack the ambushers and catch them between ourselves and Neferata."
"And then?"
said Venthor, growing angry.
"I take no pleasure in suggesting this," Rassan said. "But Neferata and we have a common enemy. We destroy the ambushers, link up with her forces, and then finish the bloodbound."
"And then?"
Venthor asked again.
"We find ourselves in exactly the position she wants, that she has been trying to bring about since we arrived in Shaish."
He pointed south.
"Can you say that she has not staged the battle she fights?
Do you know that she is not sacrificing her forces so that she can convince us of her goodwill?
No, Rassan admitted.
If this is so, she has sacrificed many,
Janika ventured.
She would sacrifice even more to destroy another army as a sham.
That destruction would not be allowed to happen, said Venthor. We would barely have turned to the south where the trap would be sprung and both armies would turn against us, now with our backs to the Bloodbound. No, we go forwards. That sorcery in the air has pushed the forces of the ruinous powers into retreat. North is where we turn the tables, and the enemy's retreat has given us that chance. At my command, we attack!
The implosion tore a hole in the air, and Kathag stared at the vortex with a chill of horrified recognition. It was the grey in the darkness that he feared. It was the grey that confronted him in his axe. It was the grey of the Maw of Uncreation.
She can't, he thought. She can't have the power to create that horror here.
He had only glimpsed the Maw in Nulamia. He had understood what it was, and had turned away from its lethal fascination. It was absolute destruction, a finality beyond death. If even a fraction of that power was loose on the field, fighting it would be a futile madness. Vask was possessed by that kind of madness. From his position at the top of the rockfall, Kathag watched the necromancer make the crucial mistake. He disobeyed Graunos's commands and turned to fight Neferata. His obsession was too great. Kathag was impressed that it was strong enough to overwhelm the hooks that Graunos had sunk into Vask's mind. From behind and above came bellowing roars. The two huge beasts that had emerged from the towers were attacking the skull. Kathag was almost out of time. There were events unfolding on the battlefield that he could not control, and whose endings he could not foresee. His prize, though, had not escaped his grasp yet. The arrival of the vortex in the air gave him the chance he needed. The Bloodbound had a very convincing reason to pull back.
Retreat, he ordered. Withdraw towards the gate. Let Sigmar's dogs come for us.
Kathag hauled on the reins of Borgheven. The juggernaut plunged down the slope, cracking boulders beneath its hooves. When they reached the floor of the pass, Kathag turned the beast again so they were parallel to the rockfall, facing the gap. He moved forward slowly, waiting for what he was sure would happen. He did not have to wait long. The Stormcast Eternals thundered through the gap. They were so disciplined, it was as if they were a single beast of war in black armour. The Bloodbound ahead of them were in full retreat towards the Wrathgate. The Lord Celestant, on his Drakoth, pursued. The beast pounded the earth in its fury, and its speed took them further ahead of the main body of the Anvils of the Heldenhammer. Venthor's appearance sprang Kathag's trap. He had held back a third of the force with which he had ridden out, dividing them in two and sending them to opposite sides of the pass to stay low and motionless next to the fallen cliffs and wait for the signal. Venthor was that signal.
Give me my prize, said Kathag.
He growled low in his throat. The Bloodbound attacked. Mobs of blood reavers led by brutal skull crushers howled in eagerness and fury. Bloodletter demons ran along the rubble, leaping from rock to rock. A savage pincer closed on the anvils of the Heldenhammer. Kathag urged his juggernaut into a stampeding run. The Lord Celestant was his prize.
Give me your skull,
Kathag hissed, his eyes on Venthor. The Stormcast Eternals reacted to the danger at once. Venthor slowed down, and the others ran faster, seeking to clear the gap before the jaws of the trap closed. Fast as they were too slow. They never had the time. Two battering rams of fury slammed into the flanks of the anvils of the Heldenhammer. The greatest concentration of the force hit Venthor's position, cutting him off from his storm host.
The Anvil's formation attacked the mob that separated them from their leader. A relictor led the attempt to break through. The solemn skull on the black helm was an expression of grim death as she smashed down Cathag's bloodbound. A skull crusher came at her, shouting his promise to kill. Without a pause in her advance, she slammed her hammer into his face, pulping his head like overripe fruit. Venthor's Drakoth pounced on the bloodbound, biting men in half, smearing them across the stone with the slash of its claws. It caught the scent of Borghaven and snarled in challenge. Its master turned at the warning and rose taller in the saddle, hammer in both hands. The cold, stern visage of the Lord Celestine's helm hid the warrior's face. Cathag's horns emerged from his helm, and its armour left his mouth exposed. Cathag wanted Venthor to see his expression. He wanted the Lord Celestine to see his teeth-bared grimace of victory. The Drakoth let out a shrieking howl of hate and leapt. It sailed over the heads of the Blood Reavers, closing in on it, and landed on others, crushing them. Its way clear, it rushed at Borghaven. The Juggernaut bellowed in answer and, head lowered, rushed to meet the foe. Cathag stood up in his saddle too, his axe at the ready. His snarl became a grin when Venthor leaned back with his hammer, preparing a massive blow. The fool thought there were rules to this duel. The two monsters collided. The ground shook with the impact, and the roars of the monsters were so huge they brought more boulders down from the cliffs. Cathag jumped from Borghaven's back at the last moment, and Venthor swung his weapon through empty air. Cathag came down on the Drakoth's back, behind the Lord Celestine. Venthor spun, his speed surprising. He leaned back and swung the hammer in low, just managing to block the death blow Cathag had aimed at the warrior's spine. The collision of weapons unleashed a flash of blue lightning and a blast of crimson fire. The Drakoth screamed in pain, and the explosion hurled Cathag and Venthor from its back. Cathag kept his feet and came at Venthor with one savage swing after another. Venthor blocked each one, but Cathag kept him on the defensive. Behind the Lord Celestine, the beasts shook the earth with their struggle. They thrashed in anger and pain, jaws locked on each other's throats. The warriors of Cathag's horde rushed to block the duel off from the other anvils of the Heldenhammer. They sacrificed themselves to Khorne, for their attacks did little more than turn them into shields of flesh. Cathag didn't care. They did as he commanded, and far above, the skull, besieged by monsters, grew strong with souls again. Venthor leaned into a block with such force that he made Cathag stumble. The power of their weapons warred again, the tempest unleashed by the Sigmarite hammer colliding with the vortices of reality torn open by Cathag's axe. There was another explosion, but both warriors weathered the blast. Cathag's stumble gave Venthor the opening he needed. He pushed hard enough to topple a wall, throwing Cathag back a full step. Free to swing his hammer, he took the offensive. But the wound of the first blast had weakened his Drakoth, and Borghaven closed his jaws through the beast's flesh. Blood gushed in a flood over the Juggernaut's face, and he twisted, smashing the Drakoth to the ground. Venthor's discipline did not waver at the sound of its distress, but Cathag felt the fury of the Lord Celestine's coming blow. He tried to jump out of the way of the hammer, but Venthor was too fast. Cathag's own speed saved him from being broken in two, but it felt as if a mountain had smashed into his flank. He roared, explosive pain becoming rage. He would not fall here. He could not fall. He had struggled too long and hard to achieve his redemption in wrath. Cathag spun back at Venthor, and at the same moment, Borghaven leapt forward from the fallen Drakoth. The Lord Celestine sidestepped and brought his hammer, smashing into Borghaven's skull. The monster fell, stunned by the blow, and Venthor whirled again to face Cathag. But the double attack stole the initiative from him. It gave Cathag the fraction of time he needed. Though Venthor came at him again, he had the chance to lunge to the side, out of the way of the hammer. He turned into his blow, bringing the axe in from the side with all his force. The air screamed in writhing pain, and the monstrous blade struck Venthor's armor at the side of his neck. Reality erupted, lashing out in screams from the point of contact. Disintegration coiled and spiraled. A cyclone of tormented energy engulfed Cathag and Venthor. The Lord Celestant's limbs convulsed, his head jerked to the side in an unnatural angle, his arms twitched as if he might somehow wield his hammer one more time. Cathag gave him no chance. He pulled the axe back and hit again, just as hard. The cyclone shrieked louder and then vanished. Venthor's head tumbled from his body. Cathag snatched it from the air and held it aloft. He held the prize only for a moment before a blast of purifying lightning stole it and Venthor's body from him, searing the flesh down his arm and torso. The moment was enough for Cathag.
"For the Skull Throne!"
he shouted while he lifted the head. The sky above flashed. A thunder too loud to be heard deafened Cathag, and a firestorm devoured the night. Vask took the bait. The chaotic mass of warriors acquired sudden, definite purpose in answer to Neferata's taunts and the destruction wreaked by the vortex. The spell that had taken the towers could not hope to replicate the power of the Maw of Uncreation. Nor did Neferata have the least wish to do so. What she had succeeded in forging here, in collaboration with her most ancient necromancers, was powerful enough, though it was only a pantomimic echo of the Maw. What the Maelstrom did was simple annihilation, no worse than that, crushing its material and ethereal prey to nothing. It would dissipate soon, its work done. Vask was panicked and enraged, and he was about to give himself away. The army rushed forwards, clashing with her troops. Volleys of arrows flew her way. She was the sole focus of the throng below. Mortals waved swords over their heads as if they could reach high enough to cut her down. Vampires took wing, and her Morghasts flew down to meet them. Neferata smiled. In rising to a fight they could not win, the vampires thinned the crowd. The earthbound combatants raved at her or fought as her skeletons marched, relentless in their discipline, deeper into the rebel ranks. But there was a cluster of fighters more visible now who moved differently. They did not rush forwards. The army had a single-minded direction, but inside it, this small group moved back and forth seemingly at random and stayed densely packed, as if protecting someone. "I have you," Neferata said.
"Down, Nagadron. Take us to our prey."
The Adivore streaked down towards the cluster of rebels. Curdathax and Dravashkon cleared her path through the air. They cut through the vampires, and the bodies of the weak, treacherous undead fell in tatters to the ground. Neferata braced herself for the attack that would surely come. She channeled sorcerous strength through Aken Seth. A shield of night formed ahead of the staff's blade. It was narrow but powerful, focused on protecting her from what would come from within the cluster.
"Be ready," she whispered to Nagatron.
The blast came, as it had in Nell. It was not as strong as that attack. This was summoned in desperation and haste. Even so, its power was ferocious. There was a collective strength here, two souls acting as one. The bolt slammed against her shield. Roaring in pain, Nagadron dived through the burning fury. Neferata grimaced. Though her shield blunted the damage, it felt as though she were flying through a storm of spears. Her grimace became a hiss of vengeance, because the storm could not stop her. She smashed through the bolt. It became ragged shards hurled at her with all the force of centuries of her family's hate and pain. They could not even slow her. Neferata tightened her grip on Aken Seth, bolstering the shield. The dread abyssal streaked over the warriors, breaking them apart with his claws. Neferata leaned over Nagadron's side. She reached down and snatched Vask up. Nagadron rose skywards, still heading north to the Wrathgate, and Neferata looked at the thing in her grasp. Her foe was a hunched, wizened man, his frame twisted by the grip and bite of the mummified torso clinging to him. She remembered the noble figure Mathas Helizan had cut as he unknowingly led his followers to their doom, and she laughed.
"Look at what you've come to, Helizan," she said. "See what an age of struggle has done. What purpose is there left in your fight?"
"Your destruction,"
Vask croaked. She had him by the throat, and he could barely speak. His strangled voice sounded like two people. Neferata glanced at the mummy and understood where Vask's power came from.
"My destruction?"
she asked, as Nagadron soared higher. "That is all? You do not fight for anything any longer? That is a sorry end for your rebellion, but you will be useful to me at the last." Above the gate, the Terrorgeist and the zombie dragon attacked the skull and its supports. The defenders on the ramparts tried to kill what was already dead. The monsters retaliated. The Terrorgeist's screaming roar pulverized bone, and the zombie dragon bathed the battlements with breath that rotted the warriors where they stood. The skull was damaged. It leaned forwards drunkenly. At the same time, its eyes blazed. It had fed well on the deaths of Khorne's worshippers, and it was ready to burn the ground again. The anvils of the Heldenhammer were in the thick of fighting with the Bloodbound. Almost half their number were still blocked in the gap between the rockfalls. Too many of them would not be able to retreat if the flames caught them now.
"I am tired of you," Neferata told Vask. "But you see, in the end, though you could not see it, you have done my bidding. It is inevitable. I arrange the stage, and you are the players who perform as my desire wills it."
The monsters grabbed the skull by its eye sockets and yanked the face up. The fires of rage climbed their bodies, destroying bone and rotted flesh. Neferata hurled Vask at the skull. Screaming, the necromancer plunged into the right eye as the weapon began to fire. The skull exploded. Its fire burst from cracks around its entire circumference, and then the weapon disintegrated, brass evaporating the furnace of its death. The fireball was blinding, a blast of uncontrolled, inchoate rage. Night burned away before the terrible day. A wave of heat roared down the length of the axeway. Banners burst into flame at its passage. In the blinding glare, Neferata's maelstrom receded, coiled into itself, and then vanished. The flames of wrath rose upwards in a mushrooming fountain, consuming the zombie dragon and the Terrorgeist, then fell back in a flood over the Wrathgate. The deluge cut short the screams of the warriors on the ramparts. It melted the brass of the gate. The huge structure buckled and twisted. Metal turned molten. Large chunks glowed white-hot, then fell like meteors to the ground. Crumbling and melting, the Wrathgate groaned. The death cry of brass filled the axeway like a screeching, mournful wind. As the fire ran in torrents down the gate, it began to dim. There was no consciousness behind this anger. It was an explosion of rage that could not be sustained. The hissing of molten metal became a series of loud, sharp cracks. The two halves of the gate fell against each other, gaps opening up in the center and at the base of the cliffs. The last of the fire reached the ground, the rage guttering sullenly. The monumental gate looked as if it had been crushed in the fist of a god. The last echoes of the blast fell away with the death cry of the Wrathgate. Other cries now made themselves heard. Vask's death stole the heart from his legions. The rebels knew that they had lost, and that they were lost. Some tried to fight, some tried to flee, some tried for mercy. The spirits of Shadowvale tried to fight on. They knew there would be no mercy. They fought because there was nothing else to do. They had already been decimated by the implosion of the towers and the hungry vortex. Neferata's army moved swiftly and relentlessly through the pass. Her forces were a great scythe. This was no longer war. It was execution. Vask's rebels shrank in on themselves, while the Neferatians fell upon them with murderous contempt. As the gate twisted, the Bloodbound retreated in a stampede, risking fiery annihilation to get through the gate ahead of the anvils of the Heldenhammer. "Quickly, Nagadron," said Neferata. She urged the Dread Abyssal to make speed and land ahead of the front ranks of the Stormcast Eternals. Lord Relictor Rassan was at their head, their banner still held high, but burned almost beyond recognition. Neferata's army came up behind the anvils, then stopped, keeping to the top of the rockfalls and the sides of the pass. Her host advanced no further than within 100 yards of Sigmar's warriors. The last of the Bloodbound passed through the rents in the Wrathgate. Rassan had not pursued them immediately, waiting for the full storm host to leave the gap and form up for a march of vengeance into Angaria. Neferata dismounted from Nagadron 50 yards ahead of Rassan, and barely more than that in front of the ruin of the Wrathgate. She stepped away from the Adivor, standing in the path of the anvils of the Heldenhammer, her weapons lowered.
"Move aside," said Rassan.
"You have every reason to pursue your present path," Neferata said. "I will not try to stop you. I do ask you to stop, though."
"Why?"
Lord Veritant Hyrea demanded. "Because I offer you the full measure of justice and vengeance."
"They are both just on the other side of that gate,"
Hyrea said. "I disagree. There are plenty of Khorne's followers there for you to pursue and destroy, certainly. But you will not find the killer of Lord Celestant Venthor. He has too much of a lead."
"He will turn and fight," said Arvax. "That is the way of his kind."
"Of his kind, yes, but not of Kathag. Like his master, he fights to win a war, not a mere battle. Vask, who ambushed us, was the main actor of this campaign. He was, I believe, meant to attack you alone. We are fortunate that he overreached. Kathag made no such mistake. He accomplished exactly what he set out to do."
"For the moment?"
Neferata nodded, granting the result of the implacable pursuit by the anvils of the Heldenhammer. "Vengeance will be yours, in the end. You have pierced the defences of Angaria, and you will extend the thrust of your blade from here into the belly of the Empire. But your campaign will be long and costly. There is another, better choice." She paused. The impassive faces of their helms hid their emotions, but she had struck a nerve. The leaders of the march slowed, then stopped a few paces from her. The storm host halted behind them. Rassan and the others were ready to listen then. Good. She was careful not to smile. In killing Venthor, Kathag had served her purpose well. She hoped she would have the chance to tell him so before killing him.
"What do you offer?"
Rassan said. Hyrea took half a step towards Rassan, then stopped. "You do not even want to hear what I have to say, Lord Veritant. You would stop Rassan from listening to me as well, but you have too much respect for her to undermine her so visibly. This is good for me to know. Venthor's views will be defended until his return. Very well."
"I offer what I have from the start," said Neferata. "In this war, we should be allies. It is foolish to be divided against Graunos. We have seen today that we should be fighting together."
How do you propose to enter Angaria if not through here? Rassan asked. My armies will travel through the underworld of Obsidia and enter Angaria a few hours' march from Mausolea. I will strike at the heart of the Empire. I will attack Graunos directly.
Neferata did not have to see past the masks of the helms to know she had the full attention of the leaders of the Stormhost. Your way forward from here is uncertain and may well lead to another trap. At the very least, you are many leagues from Mausolea. March with me and end the reign of Graunos now.
And then what? Said Rassan. What do you ask of us?
Nothing, said Neferata. If you wish to lay claim to Shadowfell, then it is yours.
For your purposes, it would be better for us to attack from here and draw Graunus's attention away from you until you are ready.
Perhaps.
Then the reasons why you propose an alliance are unclear.
They satisfy me.
But not us, said Arvax.
Neferata bowed, conceding the point. I could give you reasons. I could keep things as simple as saying that I want to see what it is like when the Stormcast Eternals strike from the shadows. Would you believe any of these reasons? Do you believe anything I say?
No, said Hyrea.
I do not expect you to. You will only see the truth by joining me. And you will see the doom of Graunos, too.
The anvils of the Heldenhammer made no reply. Finally, Rassan said, We will, in this single instance, fight with you against our common foe.
Good, said Neferata. Good. I ask for nothing more.
She was pleased with Rassan. She had thought that the Lord Relictor embodied interesting possibilities, and she had been right. Make your way to the western arm of the Stone Panes.
Where on the western arm? That is a very wide area.
Ride until you see my army. It is not difficult to find. It is much larger than the one I brought here. Ride, and we will march together. Now she did smile. You will have your vengeance, and we will make an empire fall.
Permit your enemies to uncover a clear deception, and so blind them to the deeper one. Neferata, Threads of Stratagem. Chapter 13. In the offertory throne room, Graunos said,
A great price to pay for so small a prize. A single skull, which could not be kept or truly offered.
There was meaning in the kill, said Cathag, and a loss that the anvils of the Heldenhammer will feel.
You think that was worth the price we paid?
Vask lost the battle before it began through his delay. The price was going to be paid. I chose to salvage something from that defeat. But yes, the cost is real. We are vulnerable to the south now.
Vulnerable?
Graunos shouted.
They should be attacking us by now. You were not followed. Why is that?
Cathag looked puzzled.
The Stormcast Eternals have not pursued at all. I thought they were simply regrouping.
No,
said Graunos.
I have eyes upon the Wrathgate. The anvils of the Heldenhammer withdrew from the Axeway with Neferata.
With?
With. They have been making for the Western Stonebanes.
She has made allies of them, then?
Which was always her intent. We have a united foe against us now.
Why withdraw? Cathag wondered. Why not seize the advantage they had gained? They could already be in Angaria by now.
Graunos shook his head.
He had been wrestling with the question since he had learned of the choice the anvils of the Heldenhammer had made. He knew that nothing Neferata did was what it appeared to be. This action appeared to be nothing, meaningless.
"She did not bring her full strength to the Axeway," said Cathag. "But why not have the rest of her army rejoin her? She has a much greater force now, with no way in."
Graunos jerked up from the throne.
"We have been fools,"
he roared.
"The anvils of the Heldenhammer would not join her forces and do nothing. We have no way into Neferatia, but she can enter Angaria. There is another entrance, and she knows of it."
Graunos saw how perfectly Neferata had manipulated him. Even the acts of sabotage in Mausolea, seemingly designed to disrupt his movement of troops to the western border, had actually been a goad, driving him to redouble his efforts and leave the centre undefended, to protect a region that would never be attacked, and to prepare for a march he would never be able to make.
"But there are no passes she can cross," said Cathag. "Nighthall was the only one."
"She will not come to us through the mountains. She has engaged in a great charade to draw our forces there, where they will be useless. We are undefended in the centre, and so it must be there